Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But today, first, we're going to examine the wonderful blessing of God's joy. Here's Pastor Chappell.
Well, I read this week that the standard man at this point in the Christmas season has purchased zero gifts. I hope, fellas, you're a little farther along than that, but I do know a few that would classify them fairly well. One fellow was worried about it. He had not yet purchased a gift for his wife. He did get her something last year, but he could tell by her reaction it wasn't what she wanted at all. He thought it would be exactly what she wanted, but she was not dreaming of getting an emergency auto kit. And it did have special cables and a compressor included, but clearly he had violated an important gift rule. He did not know what the rule was. He could just tell he had violated it. How many of you fellows have ever done that? You've been completely wrong in your guess, and I hope that you will claim James 1:5 as your verse this week. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and He'll give it to him. And I know we need that at this time of year. But one of the things I'm most thankful for this morning as we enter this week is the simple fact that true joy does not come from a material possession. It comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in the lives of the shepherds specifically this morning. And I love this part of the Christmas story because not too far from where Jesus Christ was born, there were common working men, day and night, doing what they always did, who suddenly had their lives changed by the presence of Jesus Christ. And I often wonder how many men and women not far from this building could have their lives changed if they were to know the truth and receive the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that the truth of Christ still changes lives today. The Bible tells us about them in verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And as we come to this portion of the Christmas story, I want you first of all this morning to hear the joyful proclamation that is made to these shepherds. This proclamation is made by a joyful messenger. The Bible describes him in verse 9. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." You'll take note of the phrase, "the angel of the Lord." Sometimes we refer to this particular angel as a theophany. A theophany of Christ, meaning an appearance of Christ, Most often we see this in the Old Testament. For example, when Joshua was walking outside the walls of Jericho, he saw the Lord standing there. This was a theophany, an appearance of Christ. Here the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to the shepherds, even while the Lord Jesus physically laid in Bethlehem's manger. And this speaks to the fact that the Lord Jesus is omnipresent, that He has all of the characteristics and attributes of deity ascribed to Him. And here He presents Himself to the shepherds. The Bible says this angel of the Lord did the same thing with Joseph in Matthew 1 and verse 20, listed there in your notes. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so this joyful messenger, the angel of the Lord, came to the shepherds, came to Joseph. It was Gabriel who came to Elizabeth and to Mary. And God was using these messengers to give the news of the arrival of His Son. But notice, if you would, they came with a joyful message. And as the angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherds, the Bible says in verse number 10, He spoke to them saying, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And notice in verse 10, He also says to them, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now think about the message that was given by the angel of the Lord. First of all, it was a message of assurance. A message of assurance, because we hear the words, "Fear not." And isn't it amazing that throughout the Christmas story, many, many times we hear the words, "Fear not." The angel of the Lord giving this word, the Greek word phobio, means to put off to the run by terrifying or to frighten. And sometimes, if we're not careful, there will come news into our life, and our first response may be fearful, and our temptation is to run. And it was the message of the angel of the Lord to simply say to the shepherds, "You don't have to run away. I want you to stay still and hear the news I'm about to give to you." It was a message of assurance. But notice, it was a message of acceptance. For the Bible says in verse number 10, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The good tidings speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is a message that is for all people. One of the things I love about the shepherds is they remind me of the simple fact that anyone with simple faith can be a follower of Christ, can know they have a home in heaven, can know what it is to have a relationship with God. They were not men of the highest aristocratic presence. They were not men with the greatest educational background, but they were men who had faith to believe the message that was given unto them. And so this message is for all people. It's not for a select few. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the message was given. Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." I think this morning about the missionaries supported by Lancaster Baptist Church, and over 200 missionaries now around the world. And even this past October, with a dip here in the economy, our church family increased our missions commitments to over $1 million this year. One of the reasons we do that is simply because we are convinced of the fact that the gospel is not just for Americans. The gospel is not just for the educated. The gospel is for all people. And we see that pictured here with the shepherds as they were approached by the angel of the Lord. But notice not only the assurance given and the acceptance, it is primarily a message of atonement. This is the message that Christmas brings to us. And I want you to see it in verse 11, because in this day of social gospel and watered down messages, sometimes the most important pinnacle truth of our faith is left behind. And I want you to see it in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The word Savior means a deliverer. It means one who will bring atonement. And the Bible speaks of this atonement in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. It simply says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The reason that we have the hope of salvation is because Jesus Christ came. Not only was he born in Bethlehem's manger, but the Bible tells us that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Almighty overshadowed Mary. And that which was born of Mary was not of the Adamic line, the sinful line that we follow in this world. But that which was born of Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ, was indeed the Son of God. And he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He came to shed his blood, for we are not redeemed with silver and gold, and we are not redeemed with a Baptist church membership, and we are not redeemed with the baptismal waters, and we are not redeemed with what this world can produce. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, which was produced by the Holy Spirit of God in Mary. We thank God for that this morning. We thank God for the fact that he sent a Savior. You see, friends, if the Lord felt that our greatest need would have been education, he would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been economic, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been political, he would have sent a great political leader. But God knew what our greatest need was. Our greatest need was forgiveness. And so he sent a Savior to forgive the sins of the world. And what did the angels say about this? Boy, when they heard and when they delivered the news, the Bible says in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, when you stop to think about the fact that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world and to be your personal Savior, that's enough to bring joy to any person's heart who really thinks about what God has done for them. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says it this way, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. You know, when you read the book of the Revelation, you'll find that in heaven, the angels are worshiping the Lord Jesus. And they're saying, even at this present moment, worthy is the Lamb. And I say to you this morning that we too will join in that chorus. And those of us who know Christ as Savior will thank him for all of eternity for coming as the Savior of the world. Well, that was the joyful proclamation made by the angel. But I want you to notice, secondly, with me this morning, a joyful place. I want you not only to hear the joyful proclamation that a Savior is born, but I want you to see with me the joyful place where he was born. Notice in verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now notice, if you will, the place of his arrival. These men have heard the proclamation, but now they come to the very place where the Son of God was born. And we know this place to be the city of Bethlehem. Really, Bethlehem was just a little village about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, nestled amongst rolling hills and caves and rock of limestone. And the wonderful thing about Jerusalem, or rather Bethlehem, the city of David, was the fact that it was known as the house of bread. And it was here that Jesus Christ, the bread of the world, would be born. The Bible prophesied this. In your notes, you'll see it in Micah 5 and verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This one that would be born in Bethlehem's manger is the eternally pre-existent Son of God. John 1:1 declared it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 then elaborates and gives us this information by saying, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ then is God come down in the flesh. Oh, you say there are many religions in the world that do not agree with that. My friend, this is not a comparative religion class. This is a Baptist church. This is the Word of God. And God's Word declares that Jesus Christ is God come down in the flesh. Now that's the cornerstone of our faith. If we don't have that truth, we don't have Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about, that in Bethlehem's manger, the Son of God was born. Now notice it was not only in Bethlehem. The Bible says it was in a stable. It was in a place where the animals were kept. And we know why from the time we were little children, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so it was, they came to a cave, something like this. We took this picture in June as we were there in Bethlehem visiting. And we were told that many of the stables in the time of the first century were really just outcroppings of rock, and rock gathered round to bring the animals in, maybe under a little cave like this. And it was here that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. We are reminded of the fact in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, even the death of the cross." Jesus Christ humbled himself in coming to this world and in being laid in the stable there in Bethlehem. The Bible says of Jesus in Luke 9 and verse 58, "And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Let me just simply say this morning that when God blesses you with a promotion at work or a new car or a home or any material blessing, that's not something to feel guilty about. That's something to be grateful for. The Bible says in James 1:17, "Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." When God blesses you, thank Him for it and praise Him for it. But may we never get to the place in our life where the most important things are the material things. May we always remember that our Lord Jesus Christ was laid in a borrowed manger and then was laid in a borrowed tomb, and that while he was here on this earth, had no place where he would lay his head and call his own. I don't know about you, without receiving one present this Christmas, I feel awfully blessed this morning. I feel blessed of God when I consider the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ to express His love to me. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 and simply said, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich." And so Christ came in the place of Bethlehem, and there in the stable, and then of course we know He was laid in a manger. And the manger most likely was also some form of carved out rock and a place where the animals fed and a place where they would come and gather around for the meals. And it was in this place where Jesus Christ was laid as He came to begin His earthly ministry. I imagine it was a damp place, a dark place. I imagine it was somewhat of a smelly place. How many of you agree with me? Those shepherds probably weren't the best smelling fellows. You know what I mean? And they came in and gathered around the Lord. I heard about a boy that got a hamster for Christmas. I'm telling you, his room smelled, but the hamster got used to it after a while. If you've ever had teenage boys, you know what I'm talking about. But that was the environment in which Jesus Christ came and where He was laid. The place of His arrival. We would have chosen the best of palaces. We would have had the best of foods. We would say He's worthy of all of the best that could be provided. But to show His love and His condescension to all people, He was born in Bethlehem. I want you to see, though, not only the place, let's focus in on the person who arrived there. The Bible says in verse 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Here they focus now not on the manger, not on the stable, not on Mother Mary, as some would call her. They were not there to focus on all the others, though they no doubt admired Mary and Joseph. She was highly favored among women, no doubt. Though Bethlehem was a beautiful place, though the star that was shining no doubt was beautiful, the focal point of that night and the focal point of this week should be placed where it belongs, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they saw the babe lying in the manger. Now, the significance of Christ, as we've mentioned, He is the Son of God. Declared clearly earlier in the Gospel of Luke and in Matthew, He is declared to be the Son of God. I was reading in USA Today a week or two ago, and they had an article simply entitled, "Mixing Their Religion." Mixing Their Religion. And the subtitle of the article said, Americans are choosing their faith like from a spiritual buffet. And it went on to say how people in America, they might take a little bit of Jesus, you know, from a Protestant church, and then a little bit of New Age, and maybe a little bit of a New Age gospel from Oprah Winfrey's book club. And then they talked about they might choose some type of spirituality in nature and things of this nature. And that's sort of the modern pluralistic mindset, politically correct mindset that's sweeping over America today. The article said, the chances are that one in five people in a church on Sunday find spiritual energy in the mountains or in the trees or in nature. Went on to describe the concept of people essentially trusting in many different ways and in many different ideas about God. But I simply want to remind you this morning that when the shepherds looked into that manger, they were focusing on one truth, and that truth was that God had become man and dwelt among us to be the Savior of the world. And my friend, mark it down. There is one faith presented in the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. That may not be politically correct. They may not be able to speak that message clearly and adamantly in certain non-denominational places of worship. But I remind you this morning that if Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, then we have no Christmas. The cornerstone of our faith is the fact that He is the virgin-born Son of the living God. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's say that together. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The person who had arrived was Emmanuel, God with us. My friend, it may be politically correct to celebrate all the other festivities, holidays, and cultural experiences, but I want you to know what is biblically correct, and that is to come into this week fully knowing that your Savior is eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your faith has found a resting place, and it's not 40% in Jesus and 20% in nature and 30% in spiritualism, but it is 100% in the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel message is. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Son of God. Because of that, He is the Savior of the world. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse 21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, my friend, that speaks not only of the Jewish people, that speaks of the entire human race. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in case some of you men are having amnesia about your sinful condition, ask your wife and she'll remind you, all right? All of us are sinners. All of us fall short of the glory of God. One of my favorite little Christmas letters written by a young man named Norman went like this. He said, Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. There is Norman, he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. Now I'm going to tell you something. None of us are Normans. None of us are good all of the time. And that's why we thank God that a Savior came to the world. And so we hear a joyful proclamation, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. We see a joyful place, a place where the Son of God came to this world. But I want you to see finally this morning that we can share a joyful promise. There's a joyful promise that all of us can share, even this week, as we gather with friends and family. There is a promise that all can know and believe. Notice it, if you will, in verse 15. The Bible says, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize what He did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting, and to trust Him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.